It seems like an understatement to say that the coronavirus pandemic has touched every aspect of our everyday lives. And of course, that includes things like the essential services that municipal governments are providing. But as the economy takes a hit from the pandemic, so too do the methods through which these municipal governments, whether it be cities or counties, get their funding. And that's something that has been up for debate recently in Congress, whether or not the federal government needs to step in to help states in providing extending funds to those municipal governments. Thanks for staying tuned to Columbus Perspective. I'm Daniel Barnett. Today I have on the line Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb. He's, of course, giving me the perspective from somebody here in Central Ohio, but also speaking on behalf of the National Association of Counties. Commissioner Bubb, thank you so much for joining me today on Columbus Perspective.
Well, nice to speak to you, Daniel.
Commissioner Bubb, obviously one of the reasons we're speaking today is to kind of shed some light on the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic is having on municipal governments. I know that that's been a point of debate this week with the latest stimulus bill that helps out small businesses and hospitals and provides money for testing. One of the things that was debated was helping city and county governments that are struggling right now. To start that conversation, can we talk a little bit about, for the layperson, how does a county government get their revenue? What's that stream look like?
Well, sure. Counties, it's sort of like a three-legged stool. They benefit from, as the state does, from the sales of the consumption tax. The state gets the first 5%. The counties get what's called that piggyback tax. That can vary county to county as to how much it is. The counties get a small part, just what they call inside millage of the property tax. Most of the property tax goes to schools, so that's fairly negligible. So you've got the sales tax, and then to a certain extent, we have a thing called the casino tax. And when the four major casinos in Ohio were opened, all the counties benefited. The four host counties get a substantial amount. The other 84 counties get a piece of the casino tax. So that's part of it. Also, we benefit from what's called the state local government fund. So a certain percentage of the what the state collects in revenue comes back to libraries and local governments. So we also get some from what's called the state and local government fund. And those would be the three big legs of the stool. And then we also invest funds, and we get interest on that. And then there's things on the side like the gas tax, but those go directly to the county engineers for road and bridge projects. Those don't go to the county general fund. So really the sales tax is the big one, and followed by the state and local government fund, and the casinos are the three major sources of revenue for county government.
And so it sounds like county government's revenue is kind of piecemeal. It's a little bit from here, a little bit from there, but all from sources that right now I would think are suffering, are not receiving that money.
Yeah, or it's going to be affected. It's like a roller coaster. When things are going good and people are spending, the sales tax is a good way to fund services, because people are deciding to spend their money, and so a small percentage of what they spend, it goes to the state and local government. But when things are tight during a potential recession, people hold back in their spending. So certainly that source of revenue is more vulnerable than, let's say, a property tax, which benefits the schools. Pretty much people still have their property tax, so unless they don't make their property tax payment, that revenue is a little bit more stable.
Sure. And correct me if I'm wrong, one of the ways in which counties receive revenue as opposed to the ways that cities receive revenue is counties don't get an income tax. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. The municipalities and then some schools have income tax-based revenue, but counties are not permitted to go there. We do not go there.
Let me ask, on the county level, and especially in Licking County, where you are on the county commission, what is county government's role in combating the coronavirus? What are counties doing maybe that is unique to the county level?
Well, it's multifaceted. I mean, we are the grassroots. When people talk about, in upper levels of government, people at the grassroots level, well, here we are in Licking County. We're as grassroots as it gets. We're everywhere from Homeland Security and Emergency Management. They're the ones that are out there right now working with the County Board of Health, triaging, doing follow-up, working with identifying folks, working with the hospital. Our people are right on the front line right now with the testing process. and also doing follow-ups with people that maybe have been infected, and also doing planning with the hospital and the medical community and the health department in terms of, you know, any potential spikes. That's a big part of it. We operate the sheriff's office and, of course, the jail. And, of course, we're very concerned about that right now. Number one, because our deputies have to enforce the law countywide, but maintain social distance, which sometimes is hard. But also, then we also have a jail that holds up 350 people. We've emptied that to about 225. And so we're trying to keep that healthy. We operate 911 services in the county. So we are the first of the first responders in terms of that. And our job in family services is sort of the social service or welfare arm of the county. So they're reaching out to seniors who are impacted in terms of staying at home, in terms of services. We're reaching out to families that are in distress, families that are having turmoil. We also operate children's services. So if children are impacted, foster children, that sort of thing, our people are on the front line right now in terms of taking care of families in the home. And in fact, in Licking County, there is a rather large fund that has been established to help families, try to tide them through over and above the unemployment compensation, which comes through Job and Family Services. And right now, our JFS, Job and Family Services, is the distribution arm in the community to those that are serving the homeless and those that are serving families who are disadvantaged right now in terms of providing additional money and or money for food. We also operate Licking County Transit, and so we are also the transit arm now for people that don't have transportation to get them to the hospital and that sort of thing. So in a whole host of ways, Daniel, county government is right at the grassroots level with the people who are suffering in a variety of ways, and we're right with them and providing service for them. When they say local government gets it done, we're the ones that actually have the boots on the ground.
Absolutely. I suspect you'll laugh at this question. Probably to the layperson, they might say, well, why can't a county government just make money? Why do they need to get it from some other source?
Daniel, that's sort of the joke. Sometimes when people come into the county commissioners and want piles of money, I sort of jokingly tell them I'll run out to the money tree behind the building to fix some for you. Constitutionally, we cannot run a deficit in the state of Ohio. Constitutionally, we've come under the Ohio Constitution, and we're an arm of state government, so they cannot run a deficit either. In other words, you have to balance the budget every year. The state has its fiscal year. We're on a calendar fiscal year. At the end of the day, when we start the new year, our projected revenues and our available resources have to balance with planned expenditures, or you have to cut or find more money. We do not have the luxury that only the federal government has, and that's to spend money that you don't have.
And I know at the state level, Governor DeWine has asked different departments to cut down on their spending by, you know, sometimes 20%. Are you seeing the trickle down of that yet, or do you think you will see that in the future?
Oh, we believe we'll see that in the future, certainly, because a lot of state services that are paid for in Columbus, they pay in large part the state court system, but we house the court system here, the judges. Well, they pay a portion of that. They pay a portion of a lot of things that are state service-oriented, and so we'll feel that impact at some point during the year, just like paying for indigent defense for people that have to go to court that can't afford an attorney. That's a shared county and state expenditure. And again, we expect to see that impacted. Now, the state does have a $2.7 billion rainy day fund. A lot of that is local government funds that were not given back after the last recession. So they do have a bit of a cushion. And we're hoping, of course, to restore the economy in the second half of this year and starting to see that flatten out a bit and hopefully not dive. But we certainly will feel some of that impact along with our own loss of revenue here in Licking County. So we're all going to potentially have to be looking at belt tightening.
Once again, I'm speaking with Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb. You and I have made the problem pretty clear. I know today that you're speaking on behalf of your county, but also the National Association of Counties.
Yes, sir.
NACO. Right. And I know that NACO is calling on Congress and on the White House to help out, what steps would you like to see the federal government take to help county governments?
Well, the current piece of legislation, which is this new Paycheck Protection and Health Care Enhancement Act, does some positive things. It does put some money back in the communities across the country for the hospitals who are suffering right now because they've lost their elective procedures, and cash-wise, the hospitals are burning through cash. It also pays for additional testing for states and localities, which is a huge benefit, especially in rural areas. And also, there is more support now for small businesses to help them survive. So in the long run, that is going to benefit government if these businesses can survive into better times. However, at this point, we are bleeding money. We will bleed money this year. We believe that nationally, the counties, with the budget losses across the 50 states, could be down in the neighborhood of $144 billion just in predicted revenue for this year. And some have more rainy day funds than others, but it's raining pretty hard. No one can sustain that. So what we're going to ask for is they look for additional relief at the federal level is direct money for local entities and make that money flexible. In other words, the CARES Act came down three or four weeks ago, it seems like forever ago, but that provided very limited relief for local governments because it was targeted just at unbudgeted costs related to the coronavirus. We need the ability to bring local money back to both the communities and the counties that is flexible so that, you know, counties, especially in rural areas that don't have a sales tax base, can survive because they're just going to need money to pay for sheriff's deputies and local officials to provide that boots on the ground service to the people. And that's the one thing we haven't seen yet is direct aid to the counties that is flexible so that it can be used as needed and not have a lot of strength attached to it.
I'd like to get your take on something, if I may. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Wednesday, when asked about discussions to include aid for local governments in the latest relief package in Congress, said that local governments should consider bankruptcy rather than receiving federal aid. Can I get your... Why doesn't that work? Why can't Licking County file for bankruptcy?
Well, that's a terrible idea. Number one, I mean, counties can't just go out of business. We're talking about law enforcement, the courts. So it's not like a mom-and-pop store or a bar or an institution that you might miss it, but if they can't make it financially, physically, they can bankrupt and reorganize. County government exists. It's a one-of-a-kind service provider in this community. We operate the jail. We operate the social safety net. There is no one else to provide that service. So, in theory, I suppose that's a question for an attorney. But for me, that's not an option. I don't want to bankrupt the county. Number one, we need to be able to keep our staffs in place and invest in public health and local economies. We're the ones that make it happen. And if there's going to be a recovery, it's going to be because the government services are in place to make it happen. Give an example. County governments through the auditor, the engineers, the recorders, the real estate industry doesn't happen unless we're there with the support for the process that allows real estate transactions to happen and to be recorded. We go out of business or we're bankrupt. Well, we take the real estate industry with us. So that's an easy answer. That's a nice sound bite, but I don't buy it for a moment. Local governments, again, are at the grassroots level where the services are being provided. We are lean as we can be. We're still lean in Licking County from the recession from 10 years ago. We're still trying to get caught up from that and just starting to come out of it well. Investing in counties means investing in public health and the local economies. Our people are out there in spending in the community, but also providing the service to local business and nonprofits to help them get back on their feet and make it happen. So, a lot of things are said at the D.C. level, and they're said for effect or political effect or for national soundbite. But the local level, that doesn't make much sense, putting your county government into bankruptcy or out of business.
And just to drive home that point, I'm sure this is something you've thought about and maybe you don't want to comment on directly, but what kinds of services do you think would be the first ones on the chopping block? You said Licking County, like I'm sure most counties, are running pretty lean. What would have to go first if you can't receive the funds from somewhere?
Well, you know, obviously essential services like law enforcement, 911, the things like that that involve saving lives and property, you know, you may make some cuts, some strategic cuts, but they're not, they can never be on the chopping block because we're not going to put lives and property at risk. At that point, then you can start to look at a lot of government services, and I don't think we would be necessarily looking to just chop one off. Probably, as we did in the last recession, you start talking about a 5 or 10% cut or however deep you have to go, however deep the knife has to go to get yourself into balance, and you make the pain across the organization felt, which means that you would lose personnel across the organization, you know, anywhere from the county engineer's office to the dog ward to the sheriff's office to the engineer to water, wastewater, you name it, dozens of services that are provided. You'd have to find a way to work leaner with fewer people, the people on furlough or some strategic layoffs to get by. But, you know, essentially, we are essential service. Some are certainly more essential than others, like law enforcement, the courts, and 911, where you need it every day, every moment. But, you know, we would cut across the board as we did in the last recession, as deeply as we have to go to survive, but also make it happen.
Let's say for a moment that the local congressmen and women, our senators, maybe even the president, were listening right now. What message would you have for them?
We're grassroots. The counties across the nation, big and small counties. And even it's interesting, think about this for just a moment. We even think about our neighbor in Franklin County, the Franklin County Commissioners. Franklin County is maybe 1.3 million people. Maybe 900,000 of them are in Columbus. But all 1.3 million of them are in Franklin County. In other words, the commissioners in that county, even a lot of money goes to the city of Columbus. But if I'm talking now bigger picture for counties. But the Franklin County commissioners still provide service across the board in that county, including the city of Columbus. So in other words, every city is in a bigger county, and a lot of these county governments are the major service provider in that city. As an example, here in Licking County, we have the city of Newark County seat. We have Granville, we have Heath, we have Potascola. We are, the sheriff's office is the main law enforcement for the county, whether you have local police or not. The courts, the probation service, the prosecuting attorney, all the divorce courts, all the infrastructure and law enforcement that stands behind us and a lot of other services we provide, like health and human services, we provide across the board in the cities as well. So we are a major provider of public service, law enforcement, and human service in this county. And frankly, this county won't survive without it. And it's a stronger county if we certainly can at least hold our own during this downtime and survive. And the county will certainly recover a lot more quickly with a full county government and the services provided in place to make that happen.
Once again, I've been speaking with Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb. Commissioner, thank you so much for your time speaking with me today, shedding light on the ways that county governments are being impacted by this pandemic. And of course, thank you for all the work you're doing keeping Licking County running.
I'm on it, buddy. Thank you.